You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Thursday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. My name is Craig Fowler and I'm joined on this occasion by Sean McGuigan.
Hello.
And Robert Borthwick.
I always get introduced second. just an observation.
Is this something that bothers you?
No, that's just an observation.
Fair enough.
Delighted to be here.
This is the first time we have appeared on the same podcast since the classic recording it in a pub.
We recorded it in a it was quite a quiet Queen's Arms.
It was okay to start with.
And then a party came in and
works now.
And somehow three of yous did think that a table sitting beside you all making a lot of noise was going to be a problem.
I'd had a couple of pints and I think when we stopped it I listened back, I was like, that sounds alright.
I like the fact that 2 years down the line Fowler is still really raging about it.
Yeah.
It got to halfway through and it was literally, you couldn't hear what you were saying.
So the worst terrace podcast of all time, I think. The only way is up from here.
Yeah, so it's quite a jump to beat.
Yes. Aye.
Right, we shall begin with Sean.
Some of my lower league topics.
Yes.
Did I pick it up right? Because it was like you missed out a bit in message. I was just to bring two lower league topics.
Yes.
Right, that's fine. That's what I've done.
Yes.
That's what I've done. I have understood that.
Right, cool.
Where I've got one positive and one negative.
That's good.
Will we start with the negative?
Why not? It's always more fun.
Right, okay. I am a technically minded and commercially astute football manager who has established an exceptional success record in the Scottish game, leading the likes of Brechin City, Raith Rovers and Dundee United to considerable domestic and cup achievements in their respective leagues. Not my words. That is the opening paragraph of Ray McKinnon's LinkedIn page. I don't know if he's going to follow that up with a particularly positive second paragraph about Falkirk. Things are not going well. It's quite interesting in the past when you've had a team who's had a stinking season. So when Raith Rovers had the season under Gary Locke and John Hughes, I hoped that they would... Well, we knew that it would bin off John Hughes, that he wouldn't be back. I hoped they would absolutely gut the squad as well. So they didn't do that, kind of kept the bulk of the squad. Changed the manager, obviously, got Barry Smith, and here we are, we're still in League One. Brechin City went down a kind of different route where they kept the manager, kept the bulk of the players. They're now really bad. Falkirk did gut the squad, kept the manager, so they went, I suppose, for option C. I don't know if that's looking like it was the best way to go either.
Am I right in saying they have 8 points from five games?
They have, let me get this right now, they have... They've won their home games. They've won their two home games. They have drawn two away from home. They've yet to score away from home. So they drew 0-0 with Peterhead. They drew 0-0 with Airdrie and they lost 1-0 with Clyde. And then they also lost 2-0 with Raith in the Challenge Cup.
So away from home. To summarise, yes.
Yes, absolutely. They, you know something? They're looking very much like Raith Rovers, in that they are looking pretty good at home, but for some reason away from home is a completely different kettle of fish. He still sets up very negatively, and I know Ray McKinnon is a football manager for a reason, and we are huddled around the microphone in a kitchen for a reason. Ray McKinnon is a far better football manager than we will ever be, but the way his team sets up, and that there's no width in midfield, and his fullbacks, which is Mikey Doyle on the right and Paul Dixon on the left, those are the two guys who have to give him the width. And to be fair, they do, but as soon as they get to the byline, and as soon as they get to a position where they can cross the ball into the box, neither of them can do it. And when that is your kind of main, or one of your main weapons in terms of creativity, it is probably never going to work. He had Tommy Robson, who was the left back last season. He probably would have been ideal for that. Great at bombing on, not particularly great at defending, but you know something, he probably wouldn't have to defend that much in League One. And he was far better at getting the ball in the box than Paul Dixon would be. For whatever reason, he retained Dixon and got rid of Robson, and it's just one of many strange decisions that he's made. They have a very talented squad, and when we discussed Falkirk in the League One preview to start the season, we said the only thing that could possibly hold them back is the squad depth. It's pretty difficult to win any league when you only have about 14 players, with the greatest will in the world. They now have a bench full of players that would either get in every single team in League One or get in the bulk of teams in League One. So he kind of has that depth as well. But there was a fairly big reaction for the fans on Saturday, considering they lost a challenge. It was only a Challenge Cup game. It was 2-0. They thoroughly deserved to get beat 2-0. Albeit they made changes, but even when he brought his kind of main strikers off the bench in Salmon and McManus, Connolly might come on as well. I think it might have been the third substitute, but they were still struggling.
How has Conor Salmon been?
Conor Salmon is, you know, when you add that caveat, oh, that's a good signing for that level.
Yeah.
He might be. I still haven't really made up my mind. I mean, to be fair, he did score the best goal you'll see this season, when the Montrose goalkeeper, it might have been Fleming, just threw off his coot.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody will score a better goal than that this season. But again, the Falkirk fans are saying, it's all very well saying, we've won our home games this season. If Fleming hadn't done that, I don't know if he would have beat Montrose that day. They've had one performance this season against Dumbarton, and it was the type of performance that you expected Falkirk to make. In that, it was 5-1, I think, 5 or 6-1. And okay, you don't think they're going to score 5 or 6 every single week, but they were just so on top, and it could have been more than 5 or 6-1. And it's just the only time they've performed it like that this season. And to be fair, it was when Dumbarton were going through the absolute patter phase, which they seem to have managed to eliminate
overnight somehow.
Because Dumbarton now not third or something, because they won 3 games in a bit.
Third, although, and I know a lot of clubs' social media does things like this. They'll say until East Fife went top with their win against Forfar last weekend, they kept saying that they were joint top with Raith Rovers. No, you were second. Because goal difference is a thing.
Uh-huh. Same number of points, but yeah. You're not joint top.
You're not joint. There's no such thing as joint top.
Try that at the end of the season. Joint champions.
Not how it works, Dumbarton. But fair play.
So, I mean, I think you were saying the caveat of good signing for that level. I feel like Falkirk signed a lot of players in the summer that are good signings for that level, but obviously the performances are still flattering to deceive. So that is a Ray McKinnon issue. That's a mentality issue that maybe he's brought from obviously the disastrous campaign last season, and is instilling that into the new players who should be doing a lot better, especially away from home.
He had a system in mind, and he doesn't really have the personnel for it, which is Ray McKinnon's fault. In terms of his midfield, so Michael Tidzer is a really good player. Is he necessarily somebody who is going to be particularly creative? No, but he will retain possession. Ian McShane is a really good player for League One and a decent player for the Championship. Is he, again, somebody who's going to be particularly creative? No, he's kind of wind-paced and, again, just kind of keeps possession. Charlie Telfer, a wee bit more about him in terms of getting forward. He's the best of that three. And Aidan Connolly, on his day, can be a bit more creative, but there isn't really a lot of pace in there. Louis Longridge came in. He could provide width and a bit of pace. But Longridge probably isn't at his best out wide. He's probably best in a number 10 position. So he has Somewhere in that Falkirk squad, there is definitely a team that should win the league, and I still think will win the league. He doesn't seem to have got round to picking it yet.
Do you think there's any way, because Falkirk fans were already a little miffed that he was allowed to stay on, do you think there's any way he'll be out the door fairly soon, or do you think he'll be given at least until, you know, turn of the year?
They've got a difficult set of fixtures coming up, and I'm trying to remember who it is. So they have, they've just played Airdrie. I think they have, in the next four games, they, in some semblance of order, they have Forfar, East Fife, Stranraer away, and Raith Rovers away. Not necessarily in that order. Now that is, so Forfar you would expect to be there or thereabouts with the playoffs, Raith Rovers, East Fife are obviously top at the moment. Stranraer is an away game that they should still be winning, but teams do struggle down there from time to time. If he doesn't put together a decent flurry of results in those four fixtures, that might be him. That might be him, because if they've started poorly, if that would continue into November and you're then sitting maybe 6-7 points off the top, I could see that might be his time up. The only thing that might save him is Falkirk still have this kind of ongoing takeover, whether they would make a move on the manager when this takeover still trying to go through, if that's still a thing. And I don't know, never have I known somebody to be going through such a long period of due diligence. About 1998, it's been going on since.
How's Margaro Gomez doing?
He is, he may be the best of a very slow bunch. the Falkirk fans seem to be quite enamoured by him.
Good.
It's easy to be enamoured by Margaro Gomez. He's a very likeable character.
Very much so.
He's a very likeable footballer as well. When he's on his game for that level, I think he should be doing a job.
Well, actually, I think he was a very good case of that level chap being good, because last season I saw him play, I think it was his debut for Dundee United. He played against
Montrose
in the
Cup. Excellent.
Yes.
And I never had any more good games.
Yeah, exactly. I came out of that saying he was played very well, probably their best player, but let's see what happens when he plays in the Championship. And he played in the Championship, and it was rubbish, because he's passed it at that level.
Another thing about Falkirk, which may come back to bite them a wee bit, I thought it was quite interesting at the time when they've done it. They've given a load of players 2-year deals. And I think they'll get out League One. I still don't think they'll be very good in the Championship next season with that. It's very much like, it's a team that's got mid-table Championship written all over it, which surely isn't what Falkirk are aiming for. But I suppose one thing at a time, get out of this league. Or finish fifth.
It's that sort of thing, though. If you're saying, you know, McKinnon might get his jotters if they don't do too well in the next four games. I mean,
same is true of McKinnon.
That's very true. He inherited a platoon of jobbers that he didn't sign, obviously, to start with, and then it was sort of catastrophic. Someone else would then have to come in and do the same again. It's more rebuilding for Falkirk. I think they need to kind of keep their eggs in this basket for the time being and just hope that McKinnon can actually drag them upwards at some stage in the next year or so, because there's no but the overhaul of players and the sort of the rate at which they go through them is.
Is it not a case though that in this instance the players should be good enough and he's underperforming with the players rather than inheriting Denon Lewis and co?
Aye, I think so. I mean, this is literally his team, and I think that's a team that should be.
So another manager coming in would only have to add one or two, if possible, outside the transfer window.
I don't even think you need to add anything, necessarily. Just get these guys, get them playing as they should. Honestly, it's such a good team for League One. And the fact that he kind of comes out on a Saturday and talks about things like, oh, well, you know, I've seen good things and we created decent chances. And I mean, every single time they've been away from, they deserve to get beat by Clyde. They didn't deserve to beat Airdrie. They deserve to get beat by Raith Rovers. I mean, they've really, really struggled on the road this season.
I've seen who your positive team is.
Yes.
So, in a second, I'm going to ask you about your positive team. But beforehand, I'm going to ask you about Raith Rovers, because we can just do this as a whole top of League One. Because you'll know that Raith Rovers, haven't you?
I'm aware of them.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah, that was
the one. Specky guys, the manager. Right, so tell us about Raith. What's their how's their title challenge going?
They'll not win the league.
Even with Regan Henry being the best player in the division, even with Lewis Vaughan coming back from injury, see, I know stuff too.
Yep. And
that's it. Right.
Lewis Vaughan is back from injury, but he'll be, what month is this? What are they?
September.
The 11th of September. 12th of September. He'll be injured again by about the 9th of October. Wraith Rovers might. If Falkirk get the house in order, Wraith Rovers won't win the league. I think East Fife fans have got a lot of things to be positive about, which we'll probably touch on. Do I think East Fife can do an Arbroath? No. Do I think Wraith Rovers can kind of do an Arbroath in that they are a long kind of second favourite this season? Maybe, but like last season, they would need other teams to underperform. So Falkirk need to underperform for Wraith Rovers to win the league. And I still have my doubts about the Wraith Rovers team in general.
Right, let's come on to your second team. That I can see for your notes. I think I'm hoping Ryan's saying this. East Fife.
Yes. I thought East Fife would do well this season. I fancied them to get in the playoffs in that they kept the core of what was a really good squad last season that totally fell away. It was bizarre. I mean, they at one point they were talking about pushing for second behind Arbroath. Certainly it looked like they were guaranteed for the playoffs. And then about the last kind of third of the season, completely bottom fell out of the season, and they ended up finishing seventh. So you can say that they really underperformed. However, they had pretty good cup runs last season, which meant that from about January onwards, they were playing two games a week for a number of weeks, which for any part-time side can sometimes catch up with them. They had an issue with the fact that their main player was Scott Agnew, who had a bad injury. I'm sure he went off in a game at Stranraer, which they eventually lost, and he was never really the same player after. They lacked goals up front. Anton Dowds was a very good player last season and a very good forward. However, he was one of those forwards that didn't score enough goals. I think he ended up with about seven last season. So elements of their team worked well all season, and then they just started to fall away. It was interesting in that that's exactly what happened the season before. And they actually started last season pretty poorly, and the fans were actually wanting Darren Young out the door. I was interested to see if that had happened again. If they started poorly this season, how long would Darren Young have had? Started the season really well in the League Cup. They beat Hearts on penalties, didn't they?
Yes.
They beat Hearts on penalties. They won at Tannadice. They got through in the group. That obviously was a fantastic start. Once again, Darren Young's got credit at the bank. The first two games, drew Peterhead, drew with Clyde. They weren't anything startling. However, since then, they have played Airdrie, beat them 4-1. Again, a team that would be looked to be in the top four. Really good against Airdrie. They played Wraith Rovers. It was 4-2. It could have been 5 or 6 on the day. They were excellent. And then on Saturday, they played Forfar, which was essentially East Fife versus Mark McCallum in the Forfar goal. It was 2-1. It could have been 5-1. And they were absolutely excellent. There's so many things to admire about the East Fife team, from the kind of midfield forward. They are current form as good as anybody in the league. Player for player, they aren't. But current form they are. Defensively, you would kind of worry about them to a degree. The reason I don't think they'll do an Arbroath is because of how good Arbroath's back four and goalkeeper were last season. Fantastic defensive unit for the third tier. East Fife don't have that. I think they've already conceded maybe 6 goals this season, which is quite a lot for when you've only played 5 games. So I don't think they'll do what Arbroath did. But at the moment, they are excellent to watch. The football they played against Forfar was really good to watch. A lot to admire about them at the moment, and I don't think any East Fife fan much rid of Darren Young at the moment.
So what's been the turning point then, from the tail end of last season when the Arse collapsed out of their play and out of their team? What's been the key difference between then and how they've started this season?
They brought in Chris Higgins on loan from Man United last season. And obviously the intention was to bolster the defensive unit, a guy with a lot of experience, and it never really worked out for him for the kind of final third of the season. How they've managed to remedy that weak point this season is just by re-signing Chris Higgins, but it's just a far better Chris Higgins than the Chris Higgins that they had last season. He had Uche in his pocket in the League Cup game.
That has not been hard this season.
And he has never looked back. He's been exceptional. So that has improved the kind of central defensive. They've got rid of 3 left backs during the summer. That's about all they got rid of from that kind of core of their squad. But Pat Slattery has filled in very well at left back. They brought in Stuart Murdoch from Dundee United, who's like a name you think, how have you went from Dundee United to East Fife? He's been really good at right back. In midfield, Scott Agnew is kind of back to his best. Liam Watt is doing very well out wide. Aaron Dunsmore is also doing very well out wide. And I think the key signing of the summer has been Ryan Wallace from Arbroath. He was a kind of a podgy pest And I mean that in the nicest possible way. He is, has always been a very good player.
Always been very quick.
He is quick. Imagine how quick he would be if he wasn't a stone overweight. Well, think no more, because he isn't a stone overweight. He has lost a lot of weight. He does so much work. Again, a player that probably doesn't score enough goals. But his movement, defenders do not know where he's going. He's quite happy to go wide left, wide right. He'll go through the middle. He'll drop deep. Nobody knows how to pick him up. And he is, I can imagine he would be the type of forward that other forwards would love to play with, because he does so much hard work. He, have the League One Manager of the Month and Player of the Month awards been announced?
Don't know.
Championship and Premiership, I'm not sure about.
I'm not sure if League One have or not. If they haven't, I'd imagine they'll be there or thereabouts when it comes to the Player of the Month award. He is at a fantastic start to the season. And again, he's somebody that probably, I actually was hoping that Raith Rovers would pick him up. But he's led the line superbly. But midfield and up front, East Fife look fantastic. At the back, I would have question marks over the goalkeeper. So they have a fantastic goalkeeper on their books in Brett Long. However, it's been Jordan Hart that's been playing the goals.
Jordan Hart of the goal.
Exeter United?
Yes, he made an arse of that goal when we saw them.
Yes. He made an arse of a few game. Goals. Okay. Yes.
He's got
goals.
A great highlights reel, Jordan.
You know somebody dropped a level, went to Queen's Park, and was excellent for Queen's Park, and now he's come back up a level. Of the goals that they've let in, he's probably been at fault for at least two, maybe more. I don't know why Brett Long isn't getting a game. I don't know if there's more to it than just the fact that he thinks Jordan Hart is a better goalkeeper at this moment in time, but I think bringing Brett Long in would add a wee bit more to East Fife.
Ryan Wallace once played for Hearts at Ibrox and had a shot that was saved, and then the rebound came out and Scott Robinson followed it up.
What a Hearts team, just listing off all the names.
And then Rangers equalised with a cross from Greg Wilde, a spill from a shot that was blocked, and then I think...
Not Andy Little.
Andy Little scored.
Yeah.
Makes you think, yeah.
Great stuff.
What a game.
the pinnacle of Scottish football right there. Two teams in the top six.
2010, what a year.
That wasn't even the Hearts team, that was like the one that nearly got relegated or anything. They finished fifth.
Aye.
Have you any more to add on either team or League One in general?
League One in general.
What the hell's happened with Dumbarton? How are they so good?
Fair play to Dumbarton. Isaac Lane has come into a game. He's helped matters. He when they signed
but for
him,
for goodness sake, don't invite him on a night out.
He's such a quiet and unassuming character.
When they signed all of those jobbers from the exit trials, I thought, no, none of these are going to work. And actually, it turns out that some of them might actually have just come into a game. And I don't know, I never researched them, Barton, so you've totally put me on the spot.
That's fine. Just saying that is better than I could add. Except for the nightclub joke. Right, we'll move on, shall we?
Aye, go for it.
Let's move on to Do Me a Solid.
Oh, yeah.
It's back again, because it's not going to be in the telly anymore.
No.
Because we're all rubbish at it.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to do this on a podcast than when you're having 30,000 people. I probably shouldn't say that, should I? I don't know, but it's actually more than that. lots of people watching you. So, right, question number one. You've been asked to appear on an interview panel alongside one of the country's most notorious Walter Mitty figures. Who do you send in your place? Let's go first.
Shall I?
Yes.
Go for it. I have gone for Arbroath's Smokey Joe the Smokey. because I believe he would talk with more legitimacy.
Well, I think you should just double down on the bollocks. And so I've gone for Joe Miller. So whatever this Walter Mitty character came out with, he would just go, oh yeah, that's like the time when we were away with Aberdeen and then this happened and that happened, and then somebody would have to write a statement saying it didn't happen and he would have to say that he was confused.
I vote for Andy Muirhead.
Cool.
Because it would just be good television. Because I get the impression that Andy Muirhead could make a point. So here's what I think. And then Walter Mitty would say, yes, I agree. And then Andy Muirhead would say, well, I disagree. And then you would just get a big furore. That would be great.
That does sound like decent TV, actually.
Aye. Yeah.
Should set this up. Next time. Right, I really should have put these in order. I'm just scrolling through WhatsApps. Hang on.
Do you want me to read that out?
Somebody says, yes, please.
You're in a European city and don't speak a word of the language because you're a pig-ignorant moron. Who do you hire as a translator and guide?
I've gone for Graham Souness.
Right,
because he would do none of the translating, but he would go around with much more authority and confidence than I would. I would respect the people in this city that I can't speak any of their language, and it's a bit silly that I can't, and I've come to there and I expect them to speak my language. But if I was with Graham Souness, he would be having none of that, and he would be getting more and more agitated the more people didn't understand them, and they would be getting more and more scared.
You've really thought about this, haven't you?
A little bit.
It's very good though.
Thanks.
Imagine we're on holiday with Graham
Souness. Especially when that one where he was like a Sampdoria with like the short shorts and the tash. Need to bring the tash back.
I think I'd just spend a fortnight scared. Walking on eggshells.
In constant fear. You wake up in the middle of the night and just at the bottom of your bed looking at you.
Punching you because you're snoring.
Punching you.
Sitting at the bottom of your bed. We drink a Paul Pogba.
I've got a couple here. I didn't know which one to choose, so I'll go first and foremost Ali McCoist.
I've got him.
Yeah. Tour guide extraordinaire.
Oh, of course, he would learn lots.
I reckon he'd probably know a wee bit of the language as well, just because that kind of character. He might just know.
What was that noise? Is that?
That was my cat going to the toilet.
Nice.
Great. Alright, perfect.
See the only problem with Ali McCoist, I know he got a lot of credit for his knowledge during the World Cup last season. Was he not just reading out the Wikipedia page?
Well, I believe that him and his co-commentator were actually going around and doing tours.
Is it John really? Champion?
Not giving out the tours, obviously. So a Wikipedia page. No, they were going out and being explained about the certain cities like St. Petersburg and all that kind of stuff.
Because I got the impression that if somebody had went in like in the morning and changed the Wikipedia page, Ali McCoist would have read out.
I'm pretty sure Craig Anderson changed one of them because he knew where Ali McCoist was. Who's commentating next to see if we pick anything up?
And here's a River Volga entirely made out of Fanta. John Chalmers, are you sure? You sure, Ali? Yep. No, Ali McCoist is a good show. I went for him too.
Yeah. Nice. My other one was Ryan McCardy.
Ryan who? Daryl McCarthy.
Daryl McCarthy.
I was going to say, fucking Ryan McCarthy. You just took Ryan Hardy and put a mic in front of you.
I can't fucking speak today.
You could answer Daryl McCarthy to every single one of these. I contemplated them.
Who the fuck's Ryan McCarthy?
Ryan, he'd be.
Daryl McCarthy. Fuck me.
It's Ryan Hardy if he put on a really, really rubbish spies. I was going to say costume.
Spies costume.
Ryan McCarthy.
A spies persona.
Ryan McCarthy put on a.
No, of Ryan Hardy. Was going to be a spy, but he was really rubbish at it. It's like, what's your name? What's your code name? Ryan McHardy.
We can just edit this whole
thing. Who's Ryan Hardy? The striker?
Aye.
Why would he be a spy? Right, what was your answer? Sorry.
Oh, not my Graham Souness.
Nick, that was a great answer. What was
the next question? It was really memorable.
Did you not give me an answer?
No, I did. I said that on the question.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right. So you both have
that. Or you could have John Hughes. Because obviously, if you want a translator, then you want something that's multilingual or even bilingual. What's the name for somebody that knows no languages? Is that John Hughes? No lingo.
No.
Oh, you alright? You better read out the next question.
I was going to say.
As I'm about to give him the Heimlich manoeuvre.
I actually thought what it was, but because I had the drink in my mouth and inside choking in the drink. No, you want somebody who's anti-lingual.
Is that as if you don't know any language?
I just made it up.
Alright, well, that's good enough. Good enough for me.
I don't know if it was good enough for me. I nearly choked to death, but.
What a hell to die on.
So, your popular TV show has been commissioned for a second series. Which Scottish footballer do you get to promote it?
Paul Slane. The man fizzes up beer and smashes it in his face and shouts, and that gets like a 1,000 likes. And I've spilt beer on myself loads of times and I've never had any likes out of it. In fact, people seem to shout at me for being stupid.
He is the people's champion in fair play.
He really is.
Yeah.
100%. So yeah,
he but would also just... your answer is disqualified because he is not a footballer.
Did I actually say footballer?
Yeah.
No, all right. Well, you should be a footballer.
I've went for the entire Scottish national team.
Right.
So the reason I've went for this is because if you, and I appreciate I'm setting myself up here for an old man joke, but if you go back to the 70s World Cup squads, they would all get paid
when you were in your teens.
Nah, I was 22 at the time. They would all get paid to advertise a really rubbish and really 70s product that would be like, I don't know, some kind of rubbish 70s car, and they'd all be in the kind of poster for it, or I don't know, smoke tabs, it's good for you, like that kind of real 70s vibe. So I would bring it back, get the entire Scottish national team involved, especially if you need something advertised in the summer of 2020, because you'll be at a fucking loose end.
Saved it, Ned. Here's your one, Rob.
So this is a bit left field, and it's sort of anecdotal more than anything else, but I've gone for Lee Miller, centre forward. Purely because when I was working at the SPFL, we did really stupid Christmas videos, and I asked, like, the day before it was due in, Falkirk, if they could help me out, and they just gave me Lee Miller's phone number. It was like, Lee Miller will be able to speak to him. I was like, nah, you do it. So they ended up speaking to him, but basically he helped at very short notice to promote the SPFL. So I'm like, do you know what? That stuck in my mind.
Was he good? Guy. Was he good at it?
No, he was terrible, but they all were. They all were, but he gave it real gusto, and I appreciated that, because they all had to sing a line out of the 12 Days of Christmas.
Right. Was that the one where the Rovers players jumped out a basket?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that one?
Yes.
That Lewis
I believe so. They all kind of mix into one now, to be honest with you.
The next year they've never done it. Barry Smith was a manager at that point. I don't know if he had an influencing factor.
I'm almost certain he would have done.
A man that does not celebrate Christmas. But anything.
Good for him. Last but not least, your manager keeps saying the same thing in press conferences every week, despite the tension among the fans rising higher. Who do you get to provide them with new material?
Well, obviously, the manager kind of has to say these things. He has to be saying that the team's heading in the right direction and stuff like that. He has to be positive to keep confidence up. So he can't really say anything different. So what I would do would be get somebody to tell him how to say things that will make it more interesting. Saying the same things over and over again, but more entertaining. So I've gone for still game writers, Ford Kiernan and Greg Kemple.
Cool. Don't know what that link says to Scottish football, right? That's fine.
They're Scottish. Nice. Scottish players watch them, probably.
I'm sure they probably like football. I have gone for... So basically, if your manager's trotting out the same shite, for the same sort of reason as yourself, you want it to get more interesting either way. It doesn't really matter if it's positive or negative. And it's not very often as well that managers lose all professionalism. And I think it's really great when that happens. So I've gone for Billy Brown. Billy Brown writing an impassioned script for an unnamed manager. Let's say C. Levine is who we're talking about.
No, that's too obvious. Go for Craig L.
So I think Billy Brown. Billy Brown, just get him in and sit him next to Craig Levine. Give him his own microphone.
I have went for the kind of opposite end of the spectrum. I've just mentioned them, actually. So
Ryan McCarthy.
No. Super spy. So your problem is that C. Levine is just saying the same things every week and it's pissing everybody off. Is
yes.
That right? Right. Okay. So here's an alternative. Barry Smith, right? So when he first started doing the post-game stuff at Wraith TV, it was maybe getting 400 clicks, right? Week one, 400 clicks. It was pretty boring, right? By week two, it was about 300 clicks. By week five, there was zero clicks. Just bring in Barry Smith, and it would be so fucking dull that nobody will listen. Problem solved.
There you go, sorted.
Yes. That one went quite well.
Aye.
God knows why I was not doing it on telly anymore.
It translates better on podcast, to be honest with you.
I think so. Right, let's move on.
All the answers went Oliver Bozanic.
To be honest, I did have him for my European set. It was option C.
Right, let's move on to another thing that won't be appearing on the telly. It's an index where we rank players based on their numerical value as compared with a daft transfer in world football. And it is now going to be called McBurney Index.
Very good.
So We've each got, I think we've got enough time for, yeah, we have, for a positive and negative player. And who wants to go first? You can either go positive or negative, it's up to you.
I'll go positive.
Okay.
So my positive is Louis Appert, I think they pronounce it. Dundee United wide player. He has had a kind of circuitous journey to the Dundee United first team. He was, I think he was on the books at Dunfermline when he was particularly young. It's a very odd pose as you were trying to open that.
Rob just sneaked away to the other side of the room and then opened it loud enough that you could hear it.
I don't know what he was doing. So he was on the books at Dunfermline Athletic. He left Dunfermline and he joined, I think I called 5AM. It's an amateur team based in Cooper. So
sounds like a radio station.
I know, totally. So bizarrely, he then went from 5AM to Roma.
As you do.
He had a trial with Roma. Came back.
I think 5AM is that not
Austin McPhee? Austin McPhee.
Austin McPhee has links everywhere. Obviously, he just phoned up Roma.
Well, that's how he came to the attention of Roma. Austin McPhee had alerted them somehow. So that didn't go anywhere. And he was supposed to sign for Raith Rovers. He played a couple of trial games for Raith Rovers. That was towards the end of the season of Ray McKinnon's tenure. So Ray McKinnon left Raith Rovers, joined Dundee United, and unfortunately he took Louis Appert with him, 16 or 17 at a time. He has, as far as I'm aware, never really been seen in the Dundee United first team squad. He's now 20. Last season he actually spent it at, I think it was Broughty Athletic in the juniors. And to be honest, most people thought, looks like he's kind of got a bit of talent, needs to bulk up. The fact that he's going for Dundee United to juniors on loan, you'll probably never see him again. He will end up in the juniors forever. However, came back to Dundee United, played a pretty big role in the majority of the pre-season friendlies. I think the fact that he was performed so well in the pre-season friendlies gave him the kind of League Cup group section. I thought at that point he may still end up in loan on loan, but he impressed so much that he is now pretty much a mainstay out wide for Dundee United. He has already scored a couple of goals this season. I think he has something like 3 assists. I didn't see the entire Dundee game. I walked into a pub after about 75 minutes, and so I only got 15 minutes of non-stop laughter. But his watching it back, his finish said a lot about him. So bear in mind, it was a really congested penalty area. There must have been about 12 players in front of him. He was under pressure from a Dundee defender, but he had enough composure to kind of let the ball drop and then take it on the volley. And any goal that comes off the underside of the bar always looks fantastic. But it was his assists. At the start of the season, they played Inverness, beat Inverness 4-1. So his assists must have been for Shankland because he scored all the goals that day. But it was two different types of assists. So he got to the byline, he absolutely sold the Inverness defender a kind of fantastic dummy. The defender was away for a hot dog. Back post cross for Shankland, and his second cross was even better because, okay, the marking wasn't great on Shankland, but he had a defender in front of him, he had a defender behind him, but Appert was still able to pick him out from the wide touchline. He looks like a player who, when he, I always think a good player you can tell when his first touch. So you watch lower league football and know everybody has a very good first touch. Sometimes it takes him 3 touches to control the ball. Appert knows exactly what he wants to do as soon as he gets that ball, and he controls it so well. He's a really technically brilliant footballer, and I know Dundee United went through a wee phase of producing players like that. I'm not saying he's going to be of the same ilk of previous guys that's come through the Dundee United youth system. It may even be that he's a bit like a Mackay Stephen player, and that I watch him on highlights and he sticks out. And it might be, so Mackay Stephen would look good on YouTube, for example, but didn't always play well for 90 minutes. So Dundee United fans will know better than me, but any time I watch their highlights, he very much sticks out, and I'm quite excited by him, actually.
So how much is he worth on the McBurnie index?
So McBurnie is only about 20 million for McBurnie.
Yes.
£5 million.
There we go. Right, Rob, who are you going? Positive or negative?
I've got one of each, but one of them's just a very short explanation. I'll go for the longer explanation, which is the negative one.
Okay.
Which is Christophe Berra.
Did we not do him? We've done him already.
We've done him already?
Yes, we've done him 2 weeks ago.
You have. Right, okay, well, fuck it, I'll just go for the other one.
what would be your valuation of
zero?
Zero. No, I said bag of balls.
£0. Pish. Anyway.
Poor Christophe.
I know, I do love him, but he's broken.
irreparably broken. So my positive one, as I say, that this is a very short explanation, but I've gone for a Beavis Mugabe. I've gone for Motherwell's new short-term signing. I just want to say his name again, Beavis Mugabe. Purely for his name, he's worth £200 million.
Fair enough.
Aye.
Right. I'll go negative because I've got a positive, but we can maybe save that for what to watch on the Patreon if we run out of time with your negative.
Okay.
So my negative is St Johnstone striker Chris Kane.
Oh yes.
So Chris, if you're listening, you may be slightly perturbed by this, but do know that any time we've slagged you off in the past on the podcast, you've gone out and belted in some goals at the weekend.
You've got a brace.
Yes. So congratulations on those goals and the win bonus. So Chris Kane this season, to be fair, has not been put in a situation that the best reflects his talents. His talents being a player who is a very, very good championship striker, and probably a third or fourth choice striker on our Premiership team. But for a lot of this season, because Johnson struggled to sign somebody for long periods, he's been asked to start a lot of games up front and up front on his own. He does a lot of work. He does do some of the basic things right as a footballer. He does most of the basic things. So you can see that he's got intelligence, he's got enthusiasm. But in front of goal, he's not going to bang in 15, 20 goals. He can play with his back to goal a little bit, but he's not exactly a target man who's going to hold it up and wait for the rest of the support to arrive. He's also not been helped by the fact that St Johnstone have been playing a bit off him in most of their games. So it's been Chris Kane with 20 or 30 yards of space between him and anybody else. And he's not got the physicality to hold the play up for that long. He can link well. Like I say, he can run channels. He can pass the ball fairly well. I think he's a decent enough footballer to have in a squad, but you shouldn't be asking him to lead the line. And now that Stevie May has signed, I think May came on last week, and he'll likely get the starting nod once he's match sharp, and Dre Wright is back as well, that will likely mean that O'Halloran or Kennedy will be used more as a striker. So I think that's him now slipped down to third in the pecking order, and that's probably where he belongs.
The very first podcast I was ever on with talked about Chris Kane.
Oh, really?
Aye.
That's when he's banging them in for Dumbarton.
He was making Colin Nash look like a player. He asked me if he would end up as good a player as Stevie May.
Did you say yes?
I said yes.
Oh. Well, now he has.
I think I'm right.
In a very roundabout way.
I didn't realise it because both of them would be dumb.
Chris Kane, McBurney Index. It's a perf 5. 1.5 million.
Alright, okay, you'll be chuffed at that.
But it's on the McBurney index.
After he scores his goals the weekend, he'll be 2.
Right, Sean, who is your negative?
My negative, I went for Stephen Dobby.
Ah, right, but he's supposed to be really good.
It's an outrageous thing to say. You kind of forget like how good he was last season. At this point, last season, he had 20 goals. But only a third of the way through September. He had 20 goals at this stage last season. He has 3 this season, albeit he's played considerably fewer games. All of his goals so far have come in the cup. They've come in games against lower league opposition as well. And Queen of South are kind of in the same position as they were last season, in that they have Stephen Dobby and a team full of jobbers. Mm-hmm. Their big issue this season is their jobbers this season are worse than the jobbers they had last season.
And Dobie's 1 year older.
And Dobby is 1 year older, and I think his injuries are just starting to get on top of him a wee bit. So he ended last season with an injury, he started this season with an injury. And you presume that has a bigger impact, obviously, the older that you get. He's always been quite a selfish player. And that's actually fine, because if you can drop deep, get the ball 25 yards for goal, turn around and then ping it in the top corner, that's absolutely fine. He is still quite selfish, but just at this moment of time anyway, he doesn't seem to have that wee bit of brilliance about him. When we spoke about Queen of South in the preview at the start of the season, we kind of mentioned all this, and at that point that was pretty much the only forward that they had. They've now signed Faisal El-Baktawi. And that doesn't seem to be a particularly productive duo. They're both quite selfish players.
Well, that's kind of it. I think every good selfish striker needs selfless players around him. So having Lyndon Dykes and stuff like that really helps, because he can do all the running, do all the hard graft, and then obviously you've got the luxury of a quality selfish centre-forward next to you. Baktawi, El-Baktawi and Dobie is just two guys who want to shoot every time they get the ball. So
I'm pretty sure that Baktawi, when he was in the Premier League last, was something like second or third for shots attempted outside the area.
Ah, that's all he does.
And he was even like playing all the time for Dundee.
Even watching some of Queen of South's highlights, they already look like they're starting to get a wee bit frustrated each other. Do I think he'll come good? Probably, because he's Stephen Dobie. Is he doing particularly well at the moment? No, quite the opposite.
So what value are you assigning him?
I would have him as 50% of Chris Kane. $750,000.
Oh dear.
Oof. What a fall from grace.
Right, we've still got a couple minutes left, so I'm just going to do my positive. I had a positive, and then myself and Joel done a Patreon earlier, which will be coming out tomorrow, where Joel talked about this player, which was Lyndon Dykes. So I'm going to bin that. And I'm going to do one that's not based on current form at all, because he's been injured since January, but he's expected to come back this weekend, and that's Ryan Porteous.
Oh, yeah.
So the reason this was a good backup for me to do was that I'm researching Porteous to write an article on him tomorrow. So,
because is he overrated?
See, I used to think, I've only watched one game of him closely. I'm hopeful of watching another two before I write this article, but it depends on my demands and what else I have to do tomorrow. I used to think he was overrated. I'm pretty sure I said this on the show because I think he has made quite a few mistakes. I still think he is overrated in the eyes of the Hibs fans, who think he might be their absolute best centre half, because he's a 20-year-old, and as a 20-year-old centre half, he does make errors, and he probably at least last season made errors that maybe the other players wouldn't. But then again, Hibs haven't exactly started the season error free at the back with any of their defenders.
Yeah.
So is he their best defender now? Last season I've said definitely not. This season I would say maybe. And watching him closely, there was a few things that I was impressed with that I didn't quite pick up last year, because it's easy to see Ryan Porteous as the blood and thunder, you know, smashing through people, being a wee bit reckless, a wee bit overcommitted at times, and that was red flags for me. But like I say, those are things that at 20 years old, you can iron out the game. It's not like a lack of pace. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get over a lack of pace. You're never going to become lightning. You can be less rash. You can make better decisions. And that bodes well for him, because those are his main weaknesses. His strengths are just about everything else. He's big, he's good in the air, he's strong, he uses his body well when he goes up against players, he's great at tackling, his anticipation's pretty good for a young player, he's quite quick as well. That was one thing I was surprised looking at him today. He charges at the defence pretty well with the ball, and he doesn't have full control of it because he's not, you know, that great a footballer, but he's not terrible either.
Yeah.
It's not like watching, Berra, for example, with a football. He's also a lot more composed with the ball at his feet, which again, for a 20-year-old player who you think of as somebody who's just going to melt the ball long, the stereotypical types, he's not like that at all. He is, you know, he will make a misplaced pass every now and again, but usually his passing's pretty accurate for a centre-half. And for all that package for a 20-year-old, I can see now why Hibs fans were so big on him.
I think he's an impetuous dunderhead, but that isn't long enough for an article.
Sean McGuigan.
He does. That's the thing he needs to calm down on, undoubtedly. But I think that he can. At least whether Paul Heckenbottom's a man to do it, I don't know. But he certainly looks like somebody who, I'm just going to say it, I think he's got the potential to be a 50 cap Scotland player.
Doesn't necessarily make you any good.
No. I would say.
Scott Hadley's got like 29.
You're saying about Grant Hanley, but him and Russell Martin are our two best centre half duo in the last 8 or 9 years.
Mental, but
anyway, sorry.
I think somebody made this point on Twitter the other day. Is it maybe just to get a centre half pairing together and just stick with them regardless? Because then they form a relationship.
Anyway, sorry, I totally went off on a tangent there.
I think everything you're saying about Porteous is completely right. You know, he does have these incredible attributes that you need to be a top elite level footballer. You saw the Callum Patterson. You've seen it before all his injuries. I thought Chris Cadden was going to be that guy as well. He had the power, the pace, the physicality. Porteous has that. He's so good in there. As you say, he can play football as well, but his decision making at times is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's wild. I mean, there's times when the ball goes in the box, where is the centre half? He's halfway up the pitch because he was just trying to support the striker. It's mental. He rushes out of position at times. You can be distracted by the ball and go chasing the ball, and sometimes positionally he just needs to be a bit more disciplined. I think with more time playing in that Hibs defence with a Hanlon or a McGregor, obviously McGregor's out for a bit now as well, I think playing with those players is going to help because their experience, they've both learned as well. I mean, obviously McGregor was a rampaging defender at one stage. Paul Hanlon last year played as a left winger half the time because he was getting up to support so much. And it's about finding that discipline. Porteous hasn't shown any of that yet with his discipline, but he's a cracking player. He's a player that I would have in the team, I mean, every single week. I think he is that sort of player. He's got the fans on his side, which a team like Hibs just now with, obviously, the discontent that's going on, I think Porteous having that...
Paul Heckenbottom could do really well to just, even if he doesn't think it's maybe the right decision, even if he's absolutely certain he shouldn't start Porteous and they should do what he wants, but if he's thinking about it at all, just pick Porteous because you need the fans back on your side.
100%, and that is a massive thing for Hibs just now because obviously the fans are absolutely furious, rightly so, given their performances. Porteous is that guy. He's kind of the shining hope that you want in that team. You look at other teams who have been absolute shite recently, Hearts, and you want that Stephen Naismith on the pitch. That player that gives you a wee glimmer of hope that makes you go back week in, week out. And Ryan Porteous is that for Hibs. I think he very well can learn how to temper himself a lot more and play with more discipline. But he'd be a lot less fun. I like watching Porteous play because you kind of know that he's going to thunder through someone at any second. Mm-hmm. Not even in the frame when the player's
going to do it every now and again.
He just comes flying in like the Flash. He just absolutely empties him, and that's what you want.
He'll still do it every now and again, but he just needs to pick his moments. You can see him sometimes. There was one moment, I watched the Livingston game, which I think was the last 90 minutes game he completed, and there was one point where he actually tripped up and allowed, I think it might have been Ryan Hardy, to kind of sprint past him, and it was because...
Super smart.
Super smart, Ryan McHardy. It was because he was about to kind of thunder into a challenge that he really didn't need to make. He wasn't going anywhere. And Hardy shifted at the last minute, and then he tried to set his feet and basically stumbled and fell over. Yeah. But he's like, that wasn't him actually going into a tackle, but that was him thinking too much about to do a tackle that he didn't need to make.
Yeah.
So he just needs to get that under control. But anyway, on the McBurney Index, 10 million.
Oofed. Crikey. Wow.
Is that us?
I think so.
Yes. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to listen to more of us, go over to patreon.com/terrispodcast where you can continue to listen to us for $2 a month, or if you want to listen to all the content, it's $5 a month. Enjoy. Now, guys, say goodbye.
Bye.
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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.